Welcome to the Elevation Church Weekly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Ryan Kibbe. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit elevationchurchwisconsin.com.
Thank you that you're with us in this new year, and that this message will come with clarity, intensity, and with a clarion call for action in 2020. This is a decade of extraordinary breakthrough for the saints of God. In Jesus' name, amen. See, if you can see it, you can have it. But before you go after it, make sure he's actually in it. If you can see it, you can have it. The thing is that sometimes we go after visions that aren't always his. Hitler had a vision. This is the wrong one. Herod had a vision to wipe out young babies when Jesus was born. Wrong vision. He had one. Wrong vision. It's important to know that the world has a vision. Sometimes it has a vision for you and I that isn't what we are called to be. How many of us have seen time and again a young boy or young girl growing up and fulfilling the vision that their parents had for their life? Weeping at my age or older because they lived their whole life aiming at someone else's call on their life. How many of you know that this year we are going to envision 2020 and everything God says about us, both online and in here, we are going to rifle in and fulfill right where we're supposed to be in 2020. That excites me. Because see, first of all, you say, well, that's easy to preach in 2020. It's the first sermon of the year. The thing is, nothing happens in the kingdom without first a declaration. I want to read you the scripture in the Passion Translation. I've read this. It's a new twist. It's a different version of the one where we've had, you know, where there's no vision, people perish, or where there's no revelation, they cast off restraint. You've heard that scripture, but I want to read it in the Passion Translation. Proverbs 29:18 says, "Where there is no clear prophetic vision, people quickly wander astray. But when you follow the revelation of the word, heaven's bliss fills your soul." I just like the way that reads. Heaven's bliss. So there's something about a prophetic declaration over our lives that gets us in position, if we have ears to hear and insight, and we cooperate with what Jesus is doing, all of a sudden things begin to come into alignment. I want to talk to you about your vision for 2020. You say, well, Kibbe, I'm not a visionary. I don't have one. Baloney. If you're breathing, you have a vision. You may not be a visionary, but you've got a vision. Not everyone's gifted as a visionary. I'm no Steve Jobs, but I'll tell you what, I have a vision for this church in 2020. And I had one 7 years ago when we started. It's called Elevate, Equip, Engage. Elevate people to a new life in Christ. Equip them for his purpose and engage culture through the mighty power of God. Broken down real simple. Come, introduce them to Jesus, get equipped, and go, baby, go. Real simple. Simple vision. Now, the thing about that is, in the process of that, if you aim at nothing every year, how many know you hit it every time? It's important that we have a prophetic, clear vision, but it's also important that we have aims that we're aiming at. This is where things that I've heard over our house. We heard 6 prophetic words last year, the word expansion. I don't have time to get into it, but I could go on and on and on about those words. So I have a choice. When I hear that, I can go, oh yeah, that's really neat and nifty, or I can get into alignment with that word and move heaven and earth to do what he's doing. Well, I don't want to grow because I want to keep a small church. Well, how selfish are we? Who are we to tell the King of Kings and Lord of Lords what he can and can't do if he tells us that we need to expand the advancement of his kingdom in every realm of culture? And here's another thing, just to tell you how much it's working. I know you guys get a lot of bad news. I've got good news for you today. My prayers for Green Bay are working. Have you seen the drunk driving results from 2019? 13 years. 13 years, bad news. I mean, people dying from drinking and driving. Guess how many in 2019? None in Brown County. None. It's working, people. That's part of the Elevate, Equip, Engage vision. You say, well, you didn't do it. No, but I prayed for those leaders. I prayed behind their back. I'm talking to other churches. I'm praying for them. I'm working it, baby. I'm working it. You are too. That's a big vision. You agree? So we have to get in alignment with what heaven's doing. See, if we can see it, we can have it. I want you to think about, though, as we go through this process, and this is probably going to be a series, but I want you to really think about, what's your vision, really? What do you envision in 2020? What do you see? The God spoke to me. We were on a two-day trip earlier this week to Kalahari Resorts, and we went to a water park, and we got really waterlogged, and it was awesome, and rode rides I should never ride, and oh, God. Anyway, but it was when I got back, I recognized that my glasses that I wear for comfort when I'm just reading things, I noticed that the arm came off. And I'm like, I got these 4 years ago. I'm like, man, that really stinks, because I wear them to keep, you know, just I wear contacts most of the time when I preach and when I do things, but sometimes I'll wear my glasses. Well, they broke right before I'm to preach this series called Envision 2020. So I'm like, God, you're not into breaking my glasses and costing me financially. That's not what you're doing. I'm like, what the heck, God? And then he said, I want you to go and get a new pair of lenses, because you're going to see farther and better than you did with your old reading glasses, and you're going to be able to see what's coming with clarity and focus better than you did in the previous year. So I went and got new. Wow, I can see y'all now. Like, I was thinking y'all are all shadows, you know. So my kids said, Dad, you look like really smart, kind of nerdy, but really smart, Dad. I'm like, oh, thanks. I appreciate the compliment. So anyway, I'm not going to feel self-conscious. I'll just wear these here and there. You know, boy, you guys have a lot of smiles on your face. That's awesome. Couldn't see that. It was a little fuzzy. I want to say this, though, that what I see for you this year is, some of you came in, you may like, you know, I can't see it. I've heard people talk about my why. Nobody can settle your why except you, but you do have a why. You have a purpose. And I want to just tell you a few things that this house is going after, and it may help align you in 2020, but when God gives you a vision, there's a few things that I wrote down that I think that will help you get in position. So for us in our house, we want everyone connected to everybody. We want everyone connected to someone. In 2020, to fulfill our vision, we want to be intentional. We want to be available towards him. So that makes us more indistractable. I love that word. That's my new word. Indistractable. We are indistractable. So I'm going to be intentional. I'm going to be available. I'm going to be indistractable. And in the process, I'm going to become more teachable. How many know we have a lot of people who like to talk, but not many that like to listen and be taught? And I'm going to be more adaptable and alignable to his purpose. That's the invitation for each of us. And so I'm going to chew on a few of those words today as part of this series. And I'm going to go after this intentional part. I want to go after us being available. And I want to go after us being indistractable. And I look at the life of the Apostle Paul. And you can turn to your Bibles to Philippians 3. And before I set up Paul, I want to show you this quote that really spoke to me. How many of you heard of Wayne Gretzky? Wayne Gretzky, if you're hockey fans, was the most prolific scorer in NHL history. And what I find fascinating about Wayne Gretzky is that he wasn't the most physically gifted. He was not like the stud of all studs coming up. He had to really work to get where he was. But one of the things that set him apart, and I want to put this quote, if we can put it up on the board. I love this quote. He says, I'm going to look at it this way, better. I skate to where the puck is going to be, not where it has been. He says, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. What that means is that Gretzky had an innate ability to anticipate where, and he had vision to anticipate where that puck was going to be. It was an innate thing. He had an insight. He had an unfair advantage that others didn't have. How many of you know we need to know where God is going to be and where he's going, not just where he's at? Churches get stuck. People in their own life get stuck when they're always just paying attention and not going forward looking for what lies ahead. I'm not saying you live in the future all the time, but what I am saying is understand that God is giving us a prophetic edge, a prophetic vision that he's calling us to in 2020. And it's up to you, your personal responsibility with intentionality, with focus, and with availability to pursue the heart of God. And when you go after it, I need you to know one thing. You're going to fail. Gretzky did not nail every shot he took. He did not score, but you cannot score a goal if you won't take a shot. I don't see Gretzky going, well, you know, I took 9 shots earlier in the period. I don't know if I can score one. Are you kidding me? His instincts took over, and what he had worked on and what he practiced for, he accomplished. How many know you're gonna crush your goals in 2020? You're going to crush your goals in 2020. And the enemy of our discipleship in Christ is distraction. So these are the 3 things I want to go after. All right, Philippians 3, verse 9. And once again, I'm reading out of the Passion Translation. I realize there's a multitude of translations. I'm a fan of most of them. And when I prepare for a message, sometimes God will speak to me in different translations, and that's just going to have to be okay, okay? I like the New King James. I like the NASB. I like them all. Philippians 3 verse 9 says, my passion is to be consumed with him and not clinging to my own righteousness based in keeping the written law. My righteousness will be his based on the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, the very righteousness that comes from God. And I continually long to know the wonders of Jesus more fully and to experience the overflowing power of his resurrection working in me. I will be one with him in his sufferings, and I will be one with him in his death. Only then will I be able to experience complete oneness with him in his resurrection from the realm of death. I admit that I have not yet acquired the absolute fullness that I'm pursuing, but I run with passion into his abundance so that I may reach the purpose that Jesus Christ has called me to fulfill and wants me to discover. I want you to see something real clear here. He was vulnerable. Paul's vulnerable. He's saying, my life, the way I used to run it, it was rubbish. One translation called it manure. The way I used to run it, I'm going to forget that my life before Christ was this. I'm going to press on, reaching for what lies ahead. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make one thing my aim, him. And I'm going to make one thing my aim in him, but I'm going to do it called according to my purpose. Meaning, I'm not going to fulfill my intimate relationship with him fulfilling someone else's dream for my life. I'm going to fulfill the vision that he's called because I have direct intimacy with him, and I'm going to fulfill that call over my life. I'm going to have intentionality, and I'm going to be available to do it. Sometimes availability means we have to have the right yes, and as I've said many times in the last year, we have to have the right no. I'll get to that in a minute on distractions. But in context, here's what Paul was, he was speaking, and he was talking about his need to trust in the Lord's guidance so that I want to give you some context of Paul. This is why I read this today. Paul wrote half the New Testament. He writes Philippians, the text I just read you. He writes Philippians in a jail cell. Do you realize if you read Philippians, which I would recommend this week, when you read Philippians, read it through the lens of the fact that he's in jail penning this. And probably in 15 to 16 different ways, he uses terms like joy and rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. So I want you to understand, God, I am deeply intimate with you, and I am sold out according to your purpose. I am pressing on, reaching for what lies ahead, and I am not making excuses, crying and resting on my laurels, whining about sitting in this jail cell. Heck no, I press on. I'm writing letters. I'm pressing in. I'm not doing anything except pursuing my high calling while I pen half the New Testament in prison. And then I said, what's my excuse? Because his circumstances did not give him joy. Jesus gave him joy, and he had joy in all circumstances. Because he had a prophetic edge to him. He could see what others couldn't see, him. And when you tap into him, you come alive with what he's doing, even if you feel like you're in prison. Man, that gets me excited. That means Rome could be burning and I could come alive. Paul lived his life with a prophetic edge. He was available. I mean, Paul was comfortable with sufferings. I think in 2020, listen, I love the abundance of God. I love all things. But to sit here and to tell you in 2020 that you will not have an ounce of problems in 2020, are you kidding me? If I sold you that, run. Get out of this church. Don't ever come back. It's not a negative confession. Are you kidding me? If we're going to be comfortable with the resurrection power of Jesus, we need to know he also suffered. What I'm imparting to you is the ability by supernatural prophetic decree that you can have joy in all circumstances, and the same gospel that Paul preached, you and I can live out in 2020. And if God is for us, who can be against us? And we will accomplish all that he's called us to do in 2020. All of it. It's our yes, our availability, but there's intentionality. Sometimes, I mean, y'all know me, I'm a little bit of a charismatic Pentecostal. Nothing really turns my crank more than if we're all just pinned to the floor and the glory of God just shows up. I kind of like those meetings. Those are fun. But how many know you actually have to plan for things? You have to go after things with some intentionality. I mean, somebody made a plan to wire this up here. Somebody has a plan back there to do this amazing project. Pastor Julie and the worship team has a plan to do that. They have to aim at something. Otherwise, you just have chaos. One of the lies that I have felt over the years that I had struggled to overcome was this idea that, well, I'm not an incredible planner. And then it hit me. I'm like, what I'm saying is that I'm reducing the power of Jesus over my life and saying that the God of the universe who planned and spoke the world into existence and brought order out of chaos, I'm saying that he's insufficient in me? Maybe I could just adjust to who he says I am instead of making excuses for what I'm not. In 2020, our intentionality is going to increase. Here's what you're going to find. In 2020, the things that gave you fits in 2019 are going to change in 2020 because you're going to be intentional, but you're going to be available. Paul made Jesus his aim. See, what happens is when we say, okay, 2020 is here, I'm going to crush my goals, I'm going to do this, I'm going to work out, I'm going to do this, blah, 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 blah. We've all been there, New Year's resolutions. And you know what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to harp on how, you know, 3 weeks from now you're going to toss your diet. I'm not going to talk about that. What I want you to aim at is him. And what I want you to understand is that Paul was very clear. He had a clear message. He goes, make Jesus, be relentless about him, and everything else will come into focus. I have one compelling focus. You say, well, what's my how? Your how will be revealed when you make him your focus. Well, how do I do that? I don't know. I'm not the Holy Spirit. I'm just the preacher pointing you to the one who is your Holy Spirit. Well, how do I do that? Make him your focus. Well, that means I can't be distracted. Right. And I'll tell you, one of my enemies, right here. Ding. I've gotten so used to the little Facebook pings, I have to like silence this thing. You know what's heaven's bliss? Turning your phone off. Heaven's bliss. I want to go after this thing on distraction in just a second. Here's the thing about vision. Vision helps you realign your focus because now you're actually aiming at something. And what we think is, sometimes when we think vision or you hear a sermon like this, you're like, you know, we're going to crush our goals, New Year's resolutions, blah, 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 blah. No, it's listening to the whispers of the Holy Spirit, being intentional as Paul was, to connect vertically so that you can live out horizontally through the written word, through the Bible, and through simply listening and talking to him. I know this, many of you have heard this, this is so simple, but you know what God said? Reduce it with simplicity in 2020, and you become simple so that I become strong to the people. Meaning, you don't need to impress people with, Paul said, I don't need to impress you with eloquence of speech. I need to be you to be clear and focused on what I'm doing, Ryan. He's summoning you to do the same. So when we look at these things, these visions, let me say it like this. So years ago, when I got saved, right before I got saved, my wife, she was at Oral Roberts University. And one of the things that she wrote down, she didn't realize she was doing, but she actually did, was she wrote down a vision of the man that she wanted to marry. People literally made fun of her because her standards were too high. That guy doesn't exist. At the time she wrote it, that guy didn't exist because this guy, was not doing Jesus things. That was a train wreck. She wrote it down. She had a list. Man, she had things that, and here's what the thing. She knew that if she wanted top choice filet mignon, I probably shouldn't go to Taco Bell to get it. Let that sit. No offense to Taco Bell. I ate plenty of burritos over the years. It's just, there is a difference between, you know, grade A top choice sirloin and, you know, Taco Bell. That's all I'm saying. I love you, Taco Bell. Yo quiero Taco Bell. Okay. I want to speak to some young people either online or in here. Listen, if you don't decide what you want, someone else or culture will tell you what you want. Have a vision in 2020 of what you want and go after it. Well, how do I do that? Be intentional and available to him. Be intentional and available to him. Our yes is to the Lord. You know, the things he's taught me over the years, I didn't sign up for a genie. I signed up for Jesus. This part about sufferings, truthfully, every time I read that Philippians, I love that part, to know him and the power of his resurrection. And then I like to stop because I don't want to read the sufferings part. But the tension of the suffering can actually propel you into places that you could never get to without him. Ask Joseph what it must have felt like while he was intentional in prison. Ask Joseph how it felt when he was intentional running Potiphar's house as a slave. But that same intentionality brought him into focus when he stood before Pharaoh and interpreted a dream that changed the course of human history. Suffering. We all love the destiny part. We don't like the other part. Here's what I'm offering. I'm offering that in 2020, as you align to the purposes of God, and Pastor Aaron will talk more about that, as you begin to be intentional about your walk with God, you know, I've heard this for years, I can't read the Bible. That's okay, let it read you. Well, how do I do that? Well, you know, how do you eat? Just start chewing on it. Who cares what you eat as long as it's nutritious? Just eat. Feed on the word. Well, I don't know how to do that. Well, if you're intentional to him, he'll show you how to do that. Because you're available to him. And when you're intentional and available, you become indistractable. I'm not saying it isn't a fight. I am saying that God will align you to what he's doing. And I'd like to encourage someone in here. Maybe you're like me, but sometimes when you don't crush a goal or you fail and you take a shot like Gretzky and you miss, sometimes the tendency is to move into shame and to back off the very thing, the very goal that you were aiming at. Can I just encourage you? Jesus is the God. When you say yes to him, he says yes to you. His yes doesn't fail even when our yes does. So take a shot. Take a shot. His yes is not like our yes. He's available 24/7. It might just mean that I might have to not watch Disney Plus as much in 2020. It might mean that I may not search my social media in 2020 during the political campaigns that will turn me into a something that I don't like, watching news and things that I probably can't use anyway, but wants to infuriate me, distract me, and then vomit on social media anyway. No, thank you. How about I just get pregnant with his vision and bring the kingdom to Republicans, Democrats, and autocrats? And diplomats. As you enter 2020, I'm asking you this question. What do you envision? What do you envision? And what does your yes look like? And are you willing to adapt? See, Paul was the master at adaptability. He had a plan. And he had an intention. If you read 2 Corinthians, he had a plan to visit them. But it had to change. And so then people began to say, well, wait a minute, Paul. You said you were going to come, but you're not. Like, what the heck? You changed the plan. And he did, and he had reasons. And sometimes in life, God will adjust the plan, but he didn't change Paul's purpose. In 2020, our team has learned this in years past, and we'll probably learn it again in 2020. But as a corporate body, we have aims. Elevate, equip, engage. That's our vision. We may have strategic goals that we want to hit and crush as a church family in 2020. But can I just tell you, every single plan that we plan out in 2020, we may have to adjust some of the plans. We don't change our purpose, but we do have to be flexible to change our plans, because that's called being spirit-led. And the problem is that sometimes when you and I change plans in our personal lives, when we're aiming at something, how do you comprehend somebody else's intimate relationship with God and tell them their vision? No, they have their own connection with God. They have their own vision there that aligns to a larger vision. But if people are telling you that you need to stick to your plan, but it violates God's plan, you need to tell them to go find another plan. Because my purpose is here. Let me say it like this. There are aims that we're going to do this year in 2020 and as a church that I don't have time to sit and express. Well, that's a great aim. I love that. About 6 years from now. Because we're not prepared to accomplish that aim right now. I know that's your vision and you want that for this house right now. That's awesome. I love it. It's just not yet. Can you adjust your plan to fulfill the purpose? And that preaches really good until you're the person I'm saying no to in 2020. Because here, can I be real? I have done this over the years, over 7 years. I've noticed that sometimes, because I love it, if you catch my vision, I'll catch yours. The problem is that sometimes I didn't recognize that I wasn't in alignment with your vision. And then it becomes a cruddy mix. I'm just saying some of my mistakes over the years. Have y'all ever made mistakes like that? Have you ever adopted someone else's vision when it wasn't your vision for God for you? You ever done that? By being intentional, available, and indistractable, I hear him better. And in 2020, I know I'm going to hear him better so that that spills over and carries over to our team, my family, etc. That's what I'm after. I want to hear him better in 2020. We hear him better than we think. I want to hear him even better than I think in 2020. I don't know what I just said, but it sounded good. I'm just about done. Trevor, if you want to come on up. I want you to see something in 2020. When it's hard, like I said, when Paul was in prison, that wasn't easy, but his confidence was in Jesus. I want you to see something, no matter who you are, where you are in life, that some of us, you got to understand, we're changing the generations. The decisions we make now are setting us up to literally change the equation. I use that example of culture. I mean, you guys know, I mean, the fruit of the vision of this house is that we come, we get equipped, and we go, and we influence culture in every realm of influence. That statistic I throwed earlier to you, that's a part of the vision. I'm not saying that you need to show up to every event in the church. Quite the contrary. I'm saying your vision needs to align with his vision and the vision of this house. And when there's harmony between the two, you will be at the right thing at the right time and part of the right team to serve in the right way in this house and outside of this house. Why? Because you see long distance with clarity and you're in position to take a shot wherever you go in every area of influence. What it means is when you're in school, young people, when you're in school, there's a grace because you've come, you've gotten equipped, and you go. There's a grace that comes upon you just by being in the culture, a culture that runs deep, just by being a part of an immersive culture that's going after heaven's core values. Those core values then spill out in the marketplace or in school amongst your peers. That's the fruit of 2020. Here's what's coming. We're, as a body, will expand. In everywhere, leadership, opportunities, groups, all of that. Those are things that are prophetic decrees that we're stepping into. We're not trying to make that happen. We've said, yes, Lord, we're paying attention. How do we expand the vision of what you're doing? How do we expand the strategies to fulfill the vision? What is it you're doing there? And we're going to take ownership of our life in 2020. I mean, God has given us all the tools that pertain to life and godliness to fulfill what he wants, the purpose for our life in 2020. And he's setting us up for future generations to reap that harvest. It means that we take ownership. Another fruit of that is that, as I've been telling our team for the last 6 months, expansion and ownership. Everyone take their places and take personal responsibility for their life and the life of the body. It's what Aaron challenged us earlier, right before the offering. We take ownership. We are not excuse makers, we're owners. The fruit of those aims in 2020 will be extraordinary. We'll have a culture that runs really deep, where heaven's core values are so permeated in our groups, on our teams, in our one-on-ones. It'll be effective discipleship because we're not distracted, because we're called according to his purpose. You're not called according to Pastor Ryan's purpose. You're not called according to what Pastor Ryan thinks your purpose is. How many know you're called according to his purpose for you? And if you don't know where to be, try something. Take a shot and fail. Oh, I don't know if I can do the production team. Take a shot. I can assure you where I won't take a shot, I will not be auditioning for the worship team. I will not take a shot. Why? Because I know my purpose. Would you stand? I want to close this message with a little intentionality here. I put a post out earlier this week about distraction, being indistractable. See, distraction really is the enemy of authentic and effective discipleship. Jesus said, go and make disciples. It's intentional. and a distracted leader at home, a distracted leader here, a distracted leader at work, a distracted leader is an ineffective leader. What you don't know is earlier this week, I mean, man, I don't know how to tell you that at 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning during the week, sometimes when I come in here, I'm all alone. I have this overwhelming burden for you guys to get into alignment. Like, do y'all realize we can really do this? We really can do this. I'm seriously praying for y'all behind. I'm not making this stuff up to make it sound good. I'm like, God, I don't know how to make people get it. I don't even know how to make me get it. But show us how to get it. Because we really do want it. We do. And we can't be distracted. So here's my declaration. We are no longer oversaturated by culture and texts and tweets. We're no longer oversaturated. We're immersed in His presence. Declaration number one. We're no longer overwhelmed. We're possessed by Him. We're no longer overcommitted. We're rifled in to our specific giftings, callings, and anointings. And we're not overworked because we actually value play. This is hard for pastors. But God is delivering me of the Messiah complex. I pray He delivers you of that same thing. Because I'm not anybody else's Jesus. I'm just the messenger who wants to love the hell out of you. In 2020, Jesus is refining our focus on Him in simplicity, clarity, and intentionality. And this is my declaration. Focus is our new superpower. My dad, he said this to me. He was in business for a lot of years. He coached a lot of leaders. And he said, Ryan, I love that big, beautiful brain of yours. And he goes, but it's like a wild stallion. It's all over the place. We need to harness that thing and break it. Thanks, Dad. You know what's weird? I put these glasses on. I felt more clarity and rifled in. Maybe I should wear the... I won't wear them when I preach all the time, but it was just for effect today. But I will wear them when I watch TV later. When I'm distracted. Just kidding. In 2020... we're going to be focused across the board in your life at home. There's going to be a grace poured out on you in 2020 that you have not felt before. And I just want you to close your eyes right now. This is an act of faith. And if we could have our ministry team come forward to pray for people after the service. Ministry team, come forward. The rest of you, I want you to close your eyes. I want you to lift up your hands. And this is an action step. This is an action step. Paul was a master receiver. He knew all of his provision came from the Word of God. In 2020, I want you to envision falling in love with the Bible again and again and again. And if you're concerned and you have a fear of reading the Bible because you're afraid of getting it wrong, guess what? We've all gotten it wrong at times. Take a shot and get in position because you're ahead of the curve when you do. In 2020, the Word of God is going to come alive to you, and God's going to send people to you to bring new strength as you read it. And God, not just His written Word, but His Word to you in the secret place is going to come alive in 2020. And He's going to send people, because you're intentional with Him, He's going to send people around you to be more focused and indistractable. One compelling focus. Jesus is the aim. And whatever He's doing in your life, you're going to have the grace to do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. And everyone said, amen.
Be
sure to visit ElevationChurchWisconsin.com for other exciting new content from Elevation Church.